All right, everybody, welcome back. Today, we're tackling a debate that's been raging in the fitness world. Krealglin versus creatine monohydrate.
The battle of the creatines.
Exactly. Both promise to amp up your workout game by boosting creatine levels. But Krealglin claims to be the new and improved champion, fewer side effects, better absorption, all that good stuff.
Sounds like a marketer's dream.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
But our mission today is to cut through the hype and uncover the truth. Is Krealglin really superior, or is it just really, really good at selling itself?
Let's find out. We're diving into some peer-reviewed studies to separate the facts from the fitness fiction.
Perfect. Now, before we get into the research, let's make sure everyone understands what we're dealing with. So, both Krealglin and creatine monohydrate are creatine supplements. They are designed to increase creatine levels in your muscles, which can lead to
more energy, more power, more gains.
Potentially. It's not a magic bullet or anything?
No, definitely not. You've got to put in the work.
Always. But creatine can give you that extra edge. Now, Krealglin claims to do this better than standard creatine monohydrate. Their main selling point is that it's pH buffered.
Yeah, the idea is that this buffering prevents it from breaking down in the stomach, so it's gentler on your system and more of it gets absorbed into your muscle.
Less is more, right.
That's the claim, at least. But to really know if that holds water, we've got to look at what the research says. And that's where things get really interesting. Because the peer-reviewed science doesn't actually back up Krealglin's claims of greater stability or effectiveness.
Really? So it's not actually more stable in the stomach?
There's no strong evidence to suggest that. Several studies, including one that specifically investigated the effects of a buffered form of creatine, found that there was no difference in muscle creatine content compared to creatine monohydrate.
Interesting. So even though it's pH buffered, it doesn't necessarily translate to better absorption or higher levels of creatine in the muscles.
Exactly. Your stomach is already incredibly acidic. Even if Krealglin starts off buffered, it's likely neutralized pretty quickly once it hits that stomach acid.
So the buffering effect might not even matter that much.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's stability and absorption debunked. What about the actual results? Did the studies find any significant differences between Krealglin and creatine monohydrate in terms of performance gains or anything else?
This is where we really put those claims to the test. They're all about those gains, right? But when you put them head to head, both Krealglin and creatine monohydrate show pretty much the same increases in muscle creatine content.
So no clear winner there. It's like they both get the job done.
Right. And this pattern continues when we look at other factors.
What?
Like body weight and muscle mass. Hmm. Studies show really similar increases with both forms of creatine. So that extra edge that Krealglin claims, we're not seeing it.
Okay. So no difference in gains. But what about strength? Surely a superior form of creatine would translate to more strength in the gym, right?
You'd think so. But again, researchers looked at this specifically, bench press strength, leg press strength, and you know what? Both types led to improvements. But Krealglin didn't outperform creatine monohydrate. No additional benefit.
Fascinating. So it's not helping us push more weight. What about our ability to just power through those really intense workouts, you know, like HIT or heavy lifting? We're talking about anaerobic capacity here.
Yeah, that's a big one, especially for those short bursts of energy. But guess what? The research shows similar improvements in anaerobic capacity with both forms of creatine.
So Krealglin is kind of striking out here. Is there anything it does better?
Well, they really hang their hat on the whole gentler on your system thing, fewer side effects.
Oh, yeah, that was a big part of their marketing, right?
Huge. But when you look at the science, there are minimal side effects reported with both types of creatine, and the side effects are pretty comparable. No need to worry about one being tougher on your stomach than the other.
Okay, so let's bring this all home. What's the takeaway for our listeners? What should they actually do with this information?
It's pretty clear. Creatine monohydrate comes out on top. It's got decades of research backing it up. It's proven effective. It's safe when you use it responsibly. And let's be honest, it's usually way easier on the wallet.
Which is a huge factor these days.
Absolutely. And I think the big lesson here in general is to be wary of flashy marketing. Look for the science, look for the evidence, and make your decisions based on that.
100%. Don't get me wrong. There might be people out there who swear by Krealglin, and that's totally fine. But like you said, the scientific consensus is pretty clear here. Creatine monohydrate delivers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been doing it for a long time.
Exactly.
This does make me wonder, though, if they're so similar, like basically the same, could there be something else going on, something we haven't fully figured out yet that makes one slightly better for some people? Like maybe it's all about your specific body chemistry or your particular workout routine.
It's definitely possible. We're still learning so much about how these supplements work on an individual level.
Right. So maybe there are some subtle differences that haven't been fully teased out in the research yet. Something to think about. All right, everyone, that's it for our deep dive into the creatine showdown. Keep those questions coming, and we'll keep bringing you the evidence-based information you need to crush your fitness goals.